one of them things popped in my head, so I'm going to say it. But anyway, so I have a robe resplendent in whiteness. So I saw an article, some professor in Norway, associate professor. Basically, she's apologizing for the way Norway promoted the whiteness all around the world. And she's some kind of art thing. And she specifically tied it to the color white, like, and white paint. And somebody in Norway invented some kind of white paint that was so, and so all these buildings painted white. And there's another thing that we're supposed to be repentant of, I guess. We have a robe resplendent in glory. Amen. And it's a white robe, the scripture says. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. It's not white like this. It's white like more than this. And all the saints of every nation and tongue. Our world is so perverted and twisted. And more, and I'm just so concerned with what's happening to language. You know, really. And I'm going to speak on something. I preached sort of the same thing 4 years ago. I usually always comment on it. We know it's coming up, this great national holiday, right? Marking the birth of the American saint, Martin Luther King. What really sickens me, it disturbs me, is here I got, you know, my little Leedy County citizen, you know, and there's a whole big article in there, interesting facts about Martin Luther King Jr. I looked at them, and virtually every one of them was a lie. A blatant lie. Talks about how he improved the lives of millions of people. Individuals across the globe are familiar with his I Have a Dream speech. Well, I'll get to that. That speech was a plagiarism from a speech that had been given by a black Republican at a Republican convention. And then it talks about what an extraordinarily gifted student he was. Yeah, plagiarized his PhD thesis. Talks about him being an ordained minister. He wasn't even a Christian, much less an ordained minister. Though I guess Satan has his ministers, the scriptures tell us. Well, it's just this, my little Levy County paper. That's what we've come to. And you know what? I get and I say, I should straighten those people out. You can't straighten them out. You really can't. Maybe I don't know if I'll send them something or not, but it's just not. It's beyond that. I want to talk today and try to finish it up and get on to other things. But forgetting the Christian general and remembering the reprobate reverend. Florida, I looked it up. It's Robert E. Lee's birthday is still a state, they don't call it a holiday, but it's some kind of a state thing. Still recognized, as is Confederate Memorial Day. I don't expect that to be too long, but there you go. But because I saw a bunch of other states where I looked up Florida. Monday, this nation marks Martin Luther King's birthday. It's an embarrassment to the American nation. It's an embarrassment to a people who claim to be Christian. And most, they're willfully ignorant. A verse I often refer to in this context, Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Again, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day. That wasn't even the man's name. His name was Michael Luther. And though I've seen some people try to say his dad officially changed it, I've never seen that anywhere. Every evidence I've seen, his dad decided to change his name to Martin Luther. Michael Jr. was already born, and they just started calling him. Which, you know, that's fine. You can do that, but come on. I'm not going to get into all the ugly and vile details today. We've dealt with them some in the past, and I'll touch on them perhaps. The man was just an open reprobate. And I don't know if you all read Brother Floyd's article about him. It was, you know, people try to compare him to David and some of the other saints. And David repented with bitter tears. Yes, you know, we're still flesh and blood. But there's a great difference there. The Lord brings his saints to repentance before and even after they're saved, after they're regenerated, after they're awakened, quickened, converted. Martin Luther King, and contrary to that paper, according to his very own associates, I've spoke before about what the FBI did found about King. Well, no doubt it was all true. Not that the FBI should have been doing that. Not that the FBI should have been blackmailing King. That's kind of be illegal for me and you to do that, I think. But anyway, they tried to, you know, manipulate him. Because the stuff they had on him, well, that's the way that's the way Washington runs. But King's own associates have written of him being a philanderer and a whoremonger. One of his closest associates, the Reverend Abernathy. King did not honor his marital vows. And he never repented of that. The night he died, he spent with a white prostitute. Comes to mind, and I've written a blog about it. When I was in basic school, when we graduated, Colonel Smith stood up there before these new lieutenants and basically said, "Look, if you don't honor your marriage vow, don't expect me to believe that you'll honor the vow you made to the United States or the oath you took to the United States." You know, there was a time that I don't think that would go over well today. Interestingly enough, but I was in Okinawa and I'd become a first lieutenant. I went from a second lieutenant to a first lieutenant. Colonel Smith had went from a colonel to a two-star general. So there you go. He was the division commander while I was over there, and I worked for him, really, because I was working in the division. We look at King, and we may get off on our high horses, some white folk. You cannot fault King and exalt Trump. I'm sorry. There's virtually no difference. Folk, I remember one time somebody asked Trump about repentance, and he couldn't think of anything he ever did to repent of. Unfortunately, I can think of something every day, and I go to the Lord. Fortunately, not violations of my marital vows, but, you know. The hypocrisy of Christians is astounding. This nation. King was a lying thief. He was a plagiarizer. He plagiarized his doctoral thesis. As I've said, his very name is a lie. His famous "I Have a Dream" speech was plagiarized from a 1952 GOP convention by Archibald Carey Jr., a black pastor and Republican from the south side of Chicago. King attended. Can I prove that King was a card-carrying communist? No, but I know this. I can show that he attended communist training schools. He attended the Highland School with Rosa Parks, where they learned their activism. I can show and prove that he was advised by and that he employed communists. And even when the Attorney General of the United States, who was generally favorable to King, warned him about that, and King promised he'd get rid of the communists, he did not. He continued to employ them on the side. I think situations like that, we say he employed the communists, or were they employing him? You know, what difference does it make? King widely and loudly proclaimed his dream. A perverted dream, perhaps, but better than the kind of dreams that are now being promoted by his followers. King claimed to look for a colorblind society, but that's no longer the case. You know, white is bad. And everything else should be elevated. And we have to be very color conscious. So even that liar would be disturbed by some of these things. But King talked about a dream he had. Jeremiah talks about false prophets that proclaim their own dreams. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. You know, folks preach about dreams they have. And unless it correlates to this book, it's to be rejected. They're false prophets. Let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. You be aware when somebody tells you, God told me this. Well, if he didn't tell you that while you were reading the Bible, yeah, well, God works in our lives and he directs and, you know, he works. But you better be aware of something. God told me to do this. Yeah, can you show me the chapter and verse where he told you to do that? Yeah, I believe God's sovereign and he works in our lives and circumstances, but God says they steal my words from his neighbor. They use their tongues and they saith, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. And do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Not going to do them any good. I'm sick and tired of, you know, these so-called conservatives and libertarians and that all embrace King and his, quote, legacy. He's a false prophet. And then Even worse, the people that make excuses for them. Again, I saw this week somebody making excuses for Reagan. It was like, well, he had to do that. He had to? And I hear that about DeSantis and a lot of the things he does. Well, he had to do that. He had to? Now we have to be faithful. King denied, and we could go into greater detail, and we have in the past. He denied the very fundamentals of the Christian faith. In his own writings, you'll never see him affirm the basic fundamentals of the Christian faith. King denied the sonship of Christ. He denied the virgin birth. He denied the resurrection of Christ. He denied God's supernatural plan of salvation as opposed to, you know, man saving himself. Whatever he was not a Christian. He called himself a Baptist minister. He was ordained by a so-called Baptist church. And tomorrow, this country will honor the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. That always catches in my throat. Psalm 111:9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The only one that's ever called reverend in Scripture is God. Don't call me reverend. There's only one that's reverend, and it's not me. And I always tell folks, if you have any doubts about that, you ask my wife, and she'll set you straight. I'm not reverend, but God is. Shame on America. There's much, much more. We've looked at more in the past. But it's quite evident that America is guilty of calling evil good. And as King has been ever more exalted, folks, examples, men like Robert E. Lee have been ever more deprecated. All remembrance of them sought to be stamped out. Their statues torn down. Thursday, if I figured it out right, will be Robert E. Lee's birthday. And he was a genuine Christian gentleman. I hope you read Brother Floyd's article on that too that I put in the paper. It's questionable that there was ever a finer Christian exemplar to bear the name American. I mean, I look at Lee's life and I see how he lived and how he exemplified. And he shows forth those things we've been studying in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we can contrast that to Mr. King. And we see exemplified the works of the flesh that Paul warned against. Fornication, adultery, and all these other forms of wickedness. I have this up on my wall. It was written by James Robertson. One of the half-decent historians still left. He said, in the pantheon of American soldiers, none stands taller than Generals Robert Edward Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. They now seem larger than life. When considering Lee and Jackson, eyes seem to lift. So does the mind. The very words... Again, there's that concept, the words, our language. that's been corrupted. The very words these men used, gentlemen, duty, valor, honor, have a quaint sound in these times because they have become unfamiliar terms. People who say that Lee and Jackson did not really exist make that statement because no one like them exists now. And such is the case. You know, where are the men? When General Lee was informed that the chaplains prayed for him, tears streamed down his eyes, and he replied, "I sincerely thank you for that. And I can only say that I am a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone, and that I need all the prayers that you can offer me." Christ receive the sinful man. For you I am praying. Paul wrote young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, and said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know, the Lord had touched Robert E. Lee's heart. You know, he was made able to be willing. And he was willing to be able by the grace of God. Lee would say, "My chief concern is to try to be a humble, earnest Christian." Well, we hear military leaders and politicians saying that all the time today, don't we? Yeah. No. They're not men like that. Concerning this book, General Lee said, "The Bible is a book in comparison with which all others are of minor importance, and which, in all my perplexities and distresses, has never failed to give me light and strength." He looked to God and God's will. And thus should we. God's sovereign. He rules. All things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And in the midst of conflict, in the midst of troubled times, in the midst of setbacks, General Lee said, "At present, I am not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. I am quite contented that His designs should be accomplished and not mine. God's will be done." Ephesians 1, Paul writes, verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." All things. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. I could give multiple examples of Lee's humility. If we understand what we are, we'll be humble. Not a false humility. I think of in the military context, you see pictures of General Lee. He's wearing a uniform with three stars. It's not a lieutenant general's insignia. And in the Confederacy, three stars is the insignia of a colonel. Three stars, usually one bigger and two smaller, with a wreath around them, was worn by all the generals. But Lee never wore that. We won 3 stars. He was asked one time, why is it, General, that you do not wear the full insignia of your rank, but content yourself with the stars of a colonel? Oh, replied Lee, I do not care for display. The truth is that the rank of colonel is about as high as I ought ever to have gotten. Perhaps I might manage a good cavalry brigade if I had the right kind of subordinates. It's God's grace, it's God's working in his life. But Lee was great because God made him humble, because he was genuinely humble. And may we seek to be thus. Lee was a man with great and undaunted faith in Jesus Christ. I've quoted before his orders that were issued on the observance of a fast day in August of 1863. Soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God. We have forgotten his signal mercies and have cultivated a revengeful, haughty, and boastful spirit. We have not remembered that the defenders of a just cause should be pure in his eyes, that our times are in his hands, and we have relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. God is our only refuge and strength. Let us humble ourselves before him. Let us confess our many sins and beseech him to give us a higher courage, a purer patriotism, and more determined will, that he will convert the hearts of our enemies, that he will hasten the time when war, with its sorrows and sufferings, shall cease, and that he will give us a name and a place among the nations of the earth. And yet Lee is ever more increasingly portrayed as some kind of evil traitor. Well, as Patrick Henry said, if that be treason, let us make the most of it. We need more traitors like that. But this empire will brook no opposition, no questions. That's why they have to erase the memory of men like this that stood up for the truth, that stood up for God, for God-given rights. All this I see coming. You know, but nothing really sticks to Lee. He's not without sin, but he's a lot like, if you read of Joseph in the Old Testament, there's no record of any particular sin on his part. Increasingly, this land calls good evil, calls evil good, seeks to tear down every remembrance there is of good. Every year it's more and more. They don't have much left to tear down of General Lee's or of any of our Confederate ancestors. And I'll, as always, encourage you, put up your own. And if it's here and there, they can't ever take it away. But until they do, put it up in your home, before your children. May God have mercy on us. We don't deserve it. But may God remember His children, His people. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe. Our trust is in a sovereign God. And we're thankful for those that He's used before us to pass down these things to us. And by His grace, may we walk in them. May we reflect them to the next generation. And may we never be guilty of calling good evil and evil good. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing the closing hymn together, number 229. More love to thee. 229.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee.
Father, thank you for this day. For each one that's here, Father, we pray your hands upon us that you might make us that people you would have us to be, that people you can use. Father, we have nothing to be proud of. All that we are, all that we ever hope to be, is by your grace. And yet, Lord, we do hope to be what you would have us to be. Like that's a very indication that we are yours. Lord, help us to stand and to speak truth, to not be carried away with the thoughts and inclinations and perversions of the world. God forbid that we would ever call evil good or good evil. or keep us from the thought that somehow we have to compromise. We have to give in. We have to go along. Lord, by your grace, we have to be faithful. And I pray that for each of us. Lord, I pray you be with us in the coming year. You be with us as we meet tomorrow night, like-minded folks. Lord, help us to stand against the tide until you call us home. Thank you, Lord, that you loved your people with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, for the all-sufficient and completed atonement of our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.